to another exciting episode of the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer, and believe it or not, I'm here for two consecutive weeks for real. This is a live broadcast on February the 2nd, 2008. It won't be live tomorrow, but it's live today, and I'm getting to visit with you guys again 2 weeks in a row. What a fantastic privilege this is. And we've got for you today is some really special news. We've got a lot happening this week, but we've even got a more special guest on with us today. Our guest today is normally you, and you will be, of course, invited to join us. But our special guest today is the probably number one in the country tax crime defense counsel, Larry B. Kraft. He has scored another victory in Honolulu, Hawaii, yesterday, just hours after the Skype's verdict came out. The court gave squeezing a verdict out of the jury and declared a mistrial. The government went away empty-handed, no head on their lance. What a fantastic event, and what a good job was done on this by Larry and by the client, who worked very hard to provide the other half of the right kind of recipe for victory. You know, that's one of the fantastic things about this particular challenge that we have, is that people can jump in there and do what it takes, or people can slide on hoping that the jury will feel sorry for them or whatever. God only knows what they're thinking. But when they go in there half-baked, they're going to get fried. And that's what's happening here. But whenever you get a client like Lucky Bennett in Hawaii, in Kona, Hawaii, then you got to combine that with a trial lawyer like Larry that can put him on a platform and protect that platform and permit him to tell his story. And he goes in there prepared to tell it and to defend it and to stand his ground with that prosecuting attorney with his phony baloney. Then what you get? You get no head on their lance. And it's been a fantastic week. That on top of the Snipes case that just came out. And we're going to be talking to Larry in just a few minutes. Larry, I understand you're on here with
us. I'm here, Tommy. How you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm fine. What's up?
Congratulations on your win in Honolulu.
Well,
terrific
it's not
job.
A win yet, but it's a hung jury is real good, especially in light of what happened here.
Well, what happens, even here, they didn't get everything that they wanted, and I'm not so sure that they can hold it. You know, when lawyers say hold it, they mean hold a case, a win, pass it, and get it through appeals. I don't know that they can hold that conviction, but they certainly didn't get one in Honolulu with you and Lucky Bennett.
Yeah, that's what's important.
And that's what's important. He walked out of that courtroom just as innocent a man, just as free a man as he was when he walked into that courtroom. And I am just thrilled down to my fat, ugly toes with that news. And we're getting into a break here, but we're going to come back here with Larry B. Kraft. We're going to find out a lot more about what all went on in Hawaii, and we're going to also talk about the Snipes case.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up to 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's energy-swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
We're back here on the Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer, and we have a very special guest, Larry B. Craft, the Dragon Slayer, who just succeeded in blocking a government's attempt to make another political prisoner out of one of the citizens. Larry, what do you consider the highlight of that trial other than the hung jury?
Well, we took a day to strike the jury. The judge was gone 1 week during the trial, so this case that started on January the 8th really spanned through yesterday, and I had to get back because it took so long to do the case. I had to come back, so I wasn't there for the verdict to even come back. I had my local counsel, Willie Domingo. He helped us a lot in the case, but you know, he stayed there for the verdict, and then they called me yesterday afternoon and told me that the jury was hung and the judge declared a mistrial. We're probably going to be looking at a retrial. I don't know whether we're going to have the same judge or a different judge. You know, but the, you know, one of the things that's been real important about Lucky's case is, you know, he sat down and, had to, you know, a lot of people don't want to do this, but you got to build your timeline about what happened when. You got to recall, you know, you can't get up on the stand and just, well, you know, I haven't thought about this and, then start trying to testify. You got to know what happened when, and you got to have the ability to.
I read something somewhere. Somebody told me something or other, and I believed it. And so, since I believed it, I'm not guilty.
Right.
That doesn't swing very many, does it?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You got to know your story. You got to be able to. You know, a lot of people read tax information. They read books. They do their research, and they reach a conclusion, but they've never articulated it. You know, to anybody else. You know, it's all up in their head. And a lot of times you gotta, it's like, cracking a coconut. you know, to try to get people to recall what happened and pulling it out of their head. They got to sit down and think about what they're going to say. You can't just do it without any practice.
Well, and a lot of people don't understand that you can't get up there and testify for the fellow. You mean you can't climb up in his lap and whisper in his ear and tell him what to say. All you can do, all the defense attorney can do, is try to protect him from unlawful evidence, evidence that shouldn't be admitted against him, and provide him with a platform so he can tell his story and protect him while he does it.
Right, absolutely.
But you can't tell the story for him. You can't convince a jury. You can't provide any evidence. And, you know, obviously, that the two of you, between his efforts and yours, is what it takes. It takes both of you. You know,
well, Tommy, to prepare for trial, you know, you were there. But to prepare for trial, you got to go review all their documentation, their letters, and make a determination about what you're going to try to introduce as evidence of the case. And the evidence is real important. You know, one of the things that Lucky hadn't really thought about much about making as an exhibit in this case was this Amtrak guide. And I was familiar with the Amtrak guide. It came out about 20 years ago. It was put out by Scott Rendleman. And the Amtrak guide was just kind of a short, good little booklet that kind of explained the liability argument. And Lucky hadn't really considered that a piece of evidence. And then when I ran across it and found it, I said, hey, this is going to be a real good piece of evidence. It was exhibit number one, our first exhibit in the case. And it got admitted into evidence, and we used it with the Elmo in the courtroom. During closing arguments, I'd put a page of the Amtrak guide up on the Elmo and read it to the jury.
Yeah, and that was a fantastic find. I mean, you know, he had a huge pile of material that he had assembled, probably the most complete assembly of research material and documentation I've ever seen. That a layman has been able to put together. He had all the materials, but those were things he went through, 10, 14 years ago. And I know that whenever I was indicted and I called you up and you asked me, okay, well, what's your belief? And I said, I could give you the three or four major points, but I couldn't give you all the stuff that was behind it. And you're sitting there with your head in your hands saying, oh, my goodness. And I said, well, I'm just going to go back and reread that stuff. And I reread it, and, of course, there it all was again.
Yeah,
you have to restore that memory. You have to recover that degree of understanding and that depth of authority behind what you believe and why you believed it. And that takes a lot of work.
Yeah, it does. I've conducted surveys over the phone with people when they call me up. And I just point blank ask them to explain their beliefs to me.
Yeah.
And too many cannot. And the reason is that people read material that happened years ago, that they read it and studied it, and then they, it goes into the memory hole. And so they have to go back through, they got to build their timeline, what happened when. And I found too often when I'm sitting down with somebody, once they get all their exhibits together, say like a series of letters, they don't recall writing a letter or what was happening at the time of the writing of the letter. And then when they sit down and look at this, and then the memory comes back.
That's right.
So,
all these things trigger these memories.
You gotta immerse them back into that time frame when they were going through all this. What did it feel like, and what did you think when, you were going through the epiphany of thinking that, you were required to file returns, and now you're seeing material that says you don't have to file returns. That's all real important, remembering what you thought at the time. So that's the reason why it's so important.
Memories takes an awful lot of going back and digging through that material, and most people, I hate to have to say it, but most people aren't willing to go to that effort. But when it does, that's when you see an acquittal, or that's when you see a hung jury.
Right. So those are the people that can get up on the stand and articulate their beliefs.
And I don't want to sound wrong here, but you mentioned a minute ago that I was there, and yes, I was. And I'm proud to say I was able to contribute some to the preparation of this case. But, no matter what, I was there trying to help him go through his materials, and I was seeing the same realizations and the dawning in him of the restoration and the recovery of his memory of what went on back in 93-4 when he was doing the study work, same way that I was back in 93-4. And, you know, I'm watching him, you know, coming back to the light bulb starts to flicker, and then all of a sudden it starts to shine brighter and brighter. But it doesn't do that just automatically because you put your hand on it.
Yeah.
You have to dig through it. You have to redigest it all, and then all of a sudden these things start coming back.
Right. The first time I met Vernie Kugel in her case, when she'd been indicted, and I went over there to see her, and I think we had arraignment, you know, a couple of days later or something like that, so I'll get over there in advance of that so I can interview her and talk to her. You know, when we were met outside of her condo in downtown Memphis overlooking the Mississippi River, she was just a scared little girl. You know, here she had been indicted for major felonies, her job's on the line, you know, her life is on the line, and she didn't know what to do. And, you know, too many people that get indicted, that's the posture that they're in. They don't know what to do, so you have to give them some direction. And, you know, I told her to sit down and build her timeline. Well, she had to go back through all of her letters, and then she watched her videos that, you know, she'd gotten, and things, you know, began to pop into her head. You know, she saw Irwin Schiff on the radio, I mean on the TV, and that's how she got involved in the tax movement. You know, then she starts writing letters and to the IRS, and she writes to her employer. And then when they see the date of the letter, oh, yeah, now I know. You know, it's all of you've got to reopen that mind again a long time before trial, so that it gets up into the out of the subconscious into the conscious. And then you can start articulating what happened when, and then you have to work on how are you going to say it. There's a million right. ways to say something, and that includes saying one thing badly, and then saying the same thing in a better manner. And that's the reason why you got to work on your testimony. Once you know the facts and you know you have a purpose of what you're going to say, now you got to say it in the best light possible. And that takes a lot of work.
Well, not only that, but then you have to do all of the stringing on it. It's just like, for example, the way I worked out with Lucky when I was working with him earlier on in order to restore all of his stuff and to bring him and get him ready, was that, you know, I explained that he had to get this in the form of a story. He had to take all of these pearls that he is restoring, all this information, all of these documents and whatnot that he is going back and redigesting, as I called it earlier, and you can't just get out there and spit pearls out and expect them to do anything except bounce a couple of times and roll away.
Yeah.
You might as well read them the phone book. You have to put those pearls on a string, and that string is your storyline, and you have to tell this story of how you came to realize this, and then why that brought you to this point, and how that made you conclude so and so, and then tell it as a story along a storyline. So it's almost like writing your story out and developing how you're going to present it and tell it. And like you said, often it's not so much what you say, but how you say it as to whether it sticks.
Yes.
You can throw all the facts and all the knowledge and all of the evidence at the jury you want to, but if none of it sticks, when they get up and walk out of the courtroom and go to deliberate and they get that jury room, none of that evidence that you threw out there goes with them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
you guys did a great job.
Go ahead.
Both of you, you know, you go in there, and I've seen you work. You protect, you provide that platform, and you can't do it alone with that, and he can't do it without your protecting him and providing a platform to stand on and tell his story. It takes both hands to clap, and here you had two hands that were willing to do what and able. You were able to do your part, and he rose to the occasion on his part, and you had a success. And congratulations are due both of you.
It was a lot of work.
Yes, it is, and it's all worth it when it comes down right. And we'll be right back after this break on the Live Free Zone.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The Insider Secrets Revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Welcome back. We're here in the Live Free Zone with special guest Larry Vecraft. We're talking about the trial that just finished in Honolulu, Hawaii, where another effort by the government to convert one of us to a political prisoner has been thwarted. Larry, tell us about, you know, what the basic closing arguments were. What did they raise as the reason why they should convict him, and what did you raise in contradiction to that?
Well, let me kind of summarize the trial. The government spent most of its time and most of its witnesses presenting, what I would call tax information as well as lifestyle information. You know, Lucky is an architect. He lives over in Kona. He built his house where he lives right now with his own hands, and it's a nice house, but he did build it himself, and he's an architect. Well, during the late 90s and early 2000s, Lucky was getting architectural work and charging big fees. So, you know, we had witnesses come in to testify about what he'd paid. You know, we stipulated to the bank records. His wife died right after 9/11, and when he started getting out and circulating and with other women and dating them, you know, he went out and bought two girls some BMWs, and for his present wife, he provided money for the lease of a BMW. And then he got involved in a clinic, an alternative health clinic that he liked, and he poured some money into that. And we had a bunch of witnesses who were brought in to testify about all this lifestyle stuff, and that's what the government used most of the trial to talk about. you know, they objected this was a conspiracy case, and their proof of the conspiracy, in essence, you know, they wanted to offer the conviction of Lamar Hardy. Lamar Hardy was the guy that recruited Lucky into the tax movement, and Lamar had a, you know, the tax group, and he called it the Research Foundation. You know, Lamar used to put out the publish in a wide variety of what I call freedom periodicals. He had his ads for his group, you know, come join my organization and learn about tax laws. And Lamar, you know, a lot of people have some good comments about him, and some others have bad comments about him. But nonetheless, he was one of the leader over in Hawaii of a what the government calls a tax protest group. And he had people from all across the nation, and Lucky was one of his supporters or clients or whatever, members of his organization. And Lucky was charged with a conspiracy with Lamar, you know, to try to impede the collection of Lucky's taxes. Well, you know, the only evidence that they ever offered about the conspiracy was, you know, they wanted to offer the indictment and conviction in May of 2005. They wanted Lamar's conviction in evidence. I objected to that. You know, to me, that's just, you know, reversible error. The judge kept the documents out, but let the, you know, the facts of the convictions come out. And so the jury knew that, but you know, most of the trial was centered on, you know, the amount of money that Lucky made. So in the closing arguments, what the government did is, you know, they brought in some big charts and, you know, had a chart of the conspiracy, you know, how they envisioned that it worked, and then they had a timeline that showed, you know, Lucky did this on such and such a date, and Lamar Hardy did that on such and such a date, and you know, on these dates he bought the BMWs for his girlfriends. You know, that's the way they, you know, they were appealing to the over in Hawaii. You know, people from the mainland, particularly white people from the mainland, they're called Howleys. And you know, the government wanted to paint to this typical Hawaiian jury. They wanted to paint this picture. You know, oh, you know, we just got a rich Howley that doesn't want to pay his taxes. And that was basically the way the government painted the case to the jury. On the other hand, what we had done is we were able to get into evidence. The government offered a lot of Lucky's letters, his returns into evidence. And when Lucky would file these annual statements with the IRS, he would attach the opinions that Lamar had his members get from people all across the country, you know, like John Slayback, Mitch Wallace, Guy Curtis, you know, other Fred Ortiz. You know, Lamar told his members to write these people and get their opinions on the tax laws. So when in the spring of 96 is when Lucky got most of his opinions, and Lucky was encouraged to send in annual statements to the IRS, and he would attach a whole bunch of documents to his annual statements, including these opinions. So I had something to work with. You know, the government offered, you know, we called it Exhibit Number 4, which was a big old thick document that had a lot of, in one exhibit, a lot of Lucky's opinions and letters to the IRS. And so, you know, what I was able to use in closing, you know, that document and some of the opinions that we offered during our side of the case, we got that into evidence. And so in closing, you know, I went through a lot of these exhibits, government exhibit number 4, our opinions, and just flashed up on the Elmo. Hey, look, you know, here's where this man's talking about, you know, we had David Mirlin, he wrote an opinion. So David Mirlin, his opinion makes the argument about Section 863, you know, the basis argument about what constitutes income. You know, if you merely work for a living and you swap your labor, you know, your labor has a basis, and the basis is what you're paid, and therefore you really have no profit or gain as a result of working for a living.
Yep.
So I was able to flash those up on the Elmo so that the jury could see them, and I would read it to them.
We're going into a break here, Larry.
I hear you.
Everybody hang on. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The because you can handle the truth.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000 plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say, go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made. Go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
And welcome back to the Buy Free Zone. We've got Larry Beecraft, and when we were so rudely interrupted by that break, Larry, you were talking about the government's arguments and what they were attempting to do to this Howley that, you know, trying to play on whatever sentiments or resentments that the jury members might have. Where'd he go from there?
My argument in reply, you know, last night after I called you to tell you that the jury was hung and the mistrial had been declared, you kind of came out with a little truth attack announcement that kind of hit the nail on the head. The argument I used in closing was along those lines. You know, I did use your suggestions, you know, scales of justice and stuff like that, you know. But that's what I typically do. You know, I like to tell the jury what reasonable doubt is. You know, I like to have a comparison. You know, here's what I think reasonable doubt is. Well, you know, my typical illustration of what reasonable doubt is imagine that your young child is in the hospital on life support. You have to make a decision. Do you pull the plug or not?
That's exactly it. And as a matter of fact, a lot of judicial instructions will use the example of a significant life decision as being something that you would not make if there was a reasonable doubt remaining.
Well, let me just tell you, there's an effort made at the federal level to water down. I've noticed over the years, you know, somebody's been, you know, we've been practicing a long time. And we have seen, and I have seen, the evolution of, quote, jury instructions in reference to reasonable doubt. You know, I can remember years ago, you know, you would have real strong reasonable doubt jury instructions. But I've seen that they're watering them down.
Yeah, and, you know, I call it an evolution, Larry.
What?
I said I call it more of an erosion than an evolution.
Okay, yeah, that's true. That's true.
They keep lowering the bar so that the government can jump over it more easily, but that means that more innocent people are going to be caught in the net. And I know a lot of people want criminals to be put away, and Lord knows everybody, you know, wants to be safer from criminals, but at what expense? How many innocent men are we willing to imprison to make sure we get them all?
Yeah, but in tax cases, nobody is really harmed. There's no physical victim. You know, nobody's been hurt. You know, the crime consists of what the government, you know, the best description for it is it's a thought crime.
Well,
you
know,
you have bad
crime.
Intent. You know,
it's
so
a crime
we're
of the mind, because
if,
you know, depending on the defendant's state of mind, is what determines whether or not he committed a crime.
Yeah.
His actions are not criminal actions. What he does isn't a criminal act. It's a criminal act or omission only if he believed at the time that he did not file or that he filed these, what he did file was a crime. If he didn't believe it was a crime at the time, then there's no crime. So it's all a crime of the mind.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, getting back to answering your initial question about what was the closing like, you know, I try to provide the jury an anchor, so to speak, or something to compare what reasonable doubt is. And then I go through the evidence. But in this particular case, you know, I kind of pitted, since we had these opinions, you know, I painted Lucky as the little boy caught between two parents. You know, one said yes, one said no. The two authority figures, you know, do you punish a little boy for violating the rule of one parent when the other parent permitted him to do it? You know, he's caught in the middle. Well, that was the figurative example that I used for Lucky. And how is he caught in the middle? Well, he's got, you know, he's studied the Internal Revenue Code. He learned you got to be liable for a tax. He tried to find who is liable for the tax. He found a section that didn't make him liable. You know, the withholding agents for non-resident aliens and foreign corporations. Then he read all these cases, and he had these government documents, you know, like the government documents that say our tax system is based on voluntary compliance. So here you have the government, and you have the courts saying one thing about what income is. And then on the other hand, here we are in court, and the government's denying all that. Now, how different is that scenario, that situation, different from, you know, punishing a little boy for violating conflicting commands from his parents?
Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, it was, he's got on the one hand the black and white law that he's looking at. That's like daddy telling him something. And then on the other hand, he's got what the IRS is saying, and that's not like mama. That's more like a second cousin telling him a story.
Yes, true. That's true.
And so which one is he going to go with, the law or what somebody tells him the law is? You know, it's just because I can appreciate that because I was in the same dilemma.
Well, I think everybody in the tax movement is. You know, the tax code's built to be deliberately confusing. And, you know, it's done that way, made confusing so that people will give up trying to interpret it and trying to learn what it means, and so they'll just simply follow the dictates and commands of a federal agency.
Yeah, the edicts or fiats,
right?
Especially whenever you're looking at black letter law that tells you just the opposite. I mean, there's a dilemma. I mean, you really have two different stories here, and you've got to choose to believe one or believe the other. And then once you made that election, you made that determination, what do you do from there? And then somebody comes after you for making that call. It's a good point for you to have raised in closing.
Yeah, well,
and apparently all those points stuck somewhere, and when the jury went back to the room, they took them with them.
We don't know what.
At least some of them did.
What?
At least some of them took that back to the jury room with them.
Yeah, and they battled for two whole days and ultimately conclude there wasn't going to be any way they weren't going to resolve it. So the government walks away with no convictions. And that's kind of like the CARE case where the government indicted a bunch of people and charged them with 189 counts in this indictment. And they started trying that case back in May of last year, you know, almost a year ago. And then by September, mid-September, the government walked away with no convictions and a whole bunch of acquittals on a lot of the people in that indictment.
Yeah.
And then also this week we've had the resolution of the Wesley Snipes case. What have you seen on the internet about that, Tommy?
Well, I haven't seen a lot on the internet, but I just finished talking for 2 hours with Joe Bannister on his radio program. I was on for an hour with you this morning, and 2 hours with Joe Bannister, and then we've got this 2 hours, Dan. I'm getting my full dose of radio today.
Yeah, that's for sure. What did you and Joe talk about?
Well, we did discuss briefly. He wanted me to more or less recount the story of my case and the things that the government did and the things that I did and how the trial went. And I told him, of course, how brilliant you were and, you know, about what it took, how we had to struggle to get past all the obstacles. And, it made for a very good program, and I hope that some of his audience enjoyed it. Of course, I invited him to come over and join us here on this program. But the Skype deal, as he mentioned it, he had indicated that the Snipes case, yeah, was primarily a puzzle to him because they acquitted on three failure to file charges and they convicted on three.
And they are that the acquittal counts are for later years. I think they're for, I think the last count dealt with 2003 or maybe 2004, but the last 3 years, the most recent years, were what they acquitted him on, and they convicted him for failure to file in the previous years. And the reason, I talked to Bob Bernhoff yesterday, the reason, let me just make my comment to this audience about my view based on a conversation I had with Bob Bernhoff, who represented Wesley Snipes. Let me tell you what I think has happened. You know, the government spent most of its time probably calling names of Wesley and Eddie Kane and Doug Rosile, but for Wesley, you know, they had raised some very important pretrial issues. Number one, one of the important pretrial issues they raised for Wesley was, you know, how fair can a jury be of white people from Ocala, Florida, be for a black movie star? And they wanted to change a venue to something more favorable. Plus, they also had this issue of where does Wesley live? Now, I read there were very few reports during the course of the Wesley Snipes trial. You know, you can see a little blurb on TV every now and then, but nothing of substance. But there's this lady called, you know, J.J. McNabb. She lives up in Maryland, and she attended the Snipes trial, and she gave a blow-by-blow daily report. So one weekend, I sat down and read what she had written. And she was kind of confused. Why is the defense always concentrating on, well, where does Wesley live? Does he live in Florida or does he live in New York? Well, this is what I think happened. You probably have a real good, strong argument that the venue for this case, at least for Wesley, shouldn't have been in Florida. It should have been in New York where he lived. Now, the tax crimes, standing independently by themselves, would have to be charged and prosecuted up there. But instead, you know, the government prosecuted him down in Florida, and he's making the argument, I don't live in Florida. So, you know, that might vacate those convictions on appeal, you know, the wrong venue. Plus, you have the argument about the jury. So I think that when the government laid out its case and it was mostly focused on Doug Rosile and Eddie Kane, and Wesley could be painted as a victim of Cain and Doug Rosseal. I think the defense made a decision. Hey, you know, we got enough here on the government side of the case to show that Wesley is nothing more than a victim, so why put on a defense? And that's a judgment call you make. And so they made that judgment call. And now for the charges in that indictment, you know, they've wiped out three willful failure to file counts. They got no conviction on the conspiracy, and now they're only looking at three willful failure to file counts, which they can really attack on appeal. And that's the reason why I think that this case of Wesley Snipes is, you know, it's got a lot of life to live, and it probably has some real good prospects for getting reversals on appeal.
In other words, that lady hasn't sung on this one yet.
That's true. That is true.
Or at least the guys in the black dresses.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that, you know, if you can bring an action on a conspiracy charge in any venue that's proper as to any of the conspirators, at least that's my appreciation of it. But the joinder of those failure to file actions, which have nothing to do with the makeup of the conspiracy period.
Well, they have different venue rules. You could prosecute a tax crime, you know, for relating to the filing or non-filing of a return. There's one or two places where you can do that, where the defendant lives, or at the service center. You know, according to the courts, you know, the crime of a tax crime is committed, you know, really not where you live, but where the document was filed or should have been filed. That's the proper place. That's the proper venue for a tax crime. But then Congress
right, but if
come
it's,
along.
If it's different venues, then joining them together in order to put them in the wrong venue doesn't work.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the reason why I think that this is a very strong issue for appeal.
Right. Right.
And, you know, I think that is what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you join? You know, it's improper joinder. To join the tax offenses of willful failure to file with this conspiracy that allegedly happened down in Florida.
Now, I'm going to make a prediction, Larry, and you tell me if I'm wrong or if you've got another take on this, but I'm going to predict that Bob Burnoff and Bob Barnes are going to come under a great deal of fire for not putting Wesley on the stand. I'm a trial attorney. I mean, you've known me long enough, and you've seen me in the trenches long enough to know that I know what I'm doing in a courtroom. And no doubt that you do. But I don't know about you. I would never second guess another trial attorney on a decision that he made on something like that. But people who don't know what they're doing, I'm going to predict, are going to be real quick, jump on and criticize and say, hey, you know, second guess this guy, armchair quarterback, when they don't know which end of football, you know,
yeah.
Which.
Yeah, I'm expecting that to come. There's probably going to be a lot of it, and it's going to come from a lot of these Patriot gurus out there. And the woods are full of, and you can be sure that that's going to happen. But let me just tell you, you know, when Jeff and Bob were trying Joe's case, and all I was doing was sitting in my office and getting daily reports from, you know, some of the people that were attending the trial. You know, when I heard that they weren't going to put on Joe on the witness stand, you know, I knew exactly what was going through Jeff's mind at that moment. And I put out an email and said, hey, I think this is what's happening, and it turned out to be true. You know, the government had a weak case, and they were expecting to get Joe on the stand to improve their case in the eyes of the jury. And so
they were hoping to do what you and I try to do, and that is to turn their witness into our witness,
right,
have him testify in support of our case.
Right.
And they were planning on using Joe to fill in the blanks.
Right.
You know, that's a call, though, that only Jeff can make.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and this is a call on Snipes' case that only Bob Burnoff and Barnes could make because they were there.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much that isn't known about what goes on behind a trial that, you know, I would never, I would never sit here and armchair quarterback another trial lawyer because I wasn't there, and I don't know a tenth of what he does as to why he decided to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, boy, somebody who doesn't know what they're doing will sure jump up and fill that gap, won't they?
Yeah, they sure will. You know, they'll sit there and, for me, I don't battle over the contested, I mean, the uncontested stuff. Bank records are going to be coming in. But, you know, you got all these Patriot gurus out there that'll say, oh, well, bank records are hearsay. Oh, well, there's a specific exception for, business records under the hearsay exception. But, I mean, you know, this is the type of stuff that floats through the movement.
There are some 23 forms of hearsay that are admissible evidence.
Well, you got the catch-all, number 24.
Yeah,
you know, if you got a particular problem, you raise it in advance and argue to the judge that it's not hearsay.
Yeah. So there are 24 then.
Yeah.
Cases of hearsay evidence. And how many people, other than people, you know, people watch Perry Mason and they become instant trial lawyers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they know all about hearsay. And,
well, they watch Denny Crane.
Okay. Well,
I like Denny Crane.
Through here. We're going into another break, Larry. We'll get back here in just a few minutes. Hang on.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Up and running with Live Free Zone. This is Tom Cryer and Larry B. Craft. Defense attorney extraordinaire is our guest today. Larry, we've got a caller that's been hanging on and waiting for the last 55 minutes. Do you mind if we take a call right here and we can get back in? I just hate to have the gentleman wait.
We're getting ready to go in the first hour break. Let's take him and hold him over.
All right. Well, let's go on ahead and jump to the phones then. And I know I haven't announced any call numbers, but because I knew it was going to be a little while before we could finish wrapping some of this stuff up and getting it laid out for everybody. But let's talk to Mitchell. Hello, Mitchell. How are you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You can actually put me back on hold.
Thanks for waiting so long. I'll tell you, you're a trooper.
Well, actually, I put you on speakerphone, and I'm doing some work on the computer here, so I haven't been slaving over the phone so much.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
And if you want to put me back on hold, I can. It's sort of a different subject, so.
Well, go ahead and throw us your question, and we'll see from there.
Okay. I've been listening, actually, to both of y'all for a while now, and researching on my own and sort of understand the whole issue of our wages being part of our self, our body, and really shouldn't be taxed, and that the original envisionment of the income tax was a profit. So for an individual, even if he can't demonstrate or if no one can demonstrate that there's a profit there, then it shouldn't be taxed. So my question is on actually the Ron Paul economic plan, and I'm a huge Ron Paul supporter, but as I look through the plan, it sort of is premised on still not having wages taxable, but the way it introduces that under a subsection that says eliminate taxes on capital gains, it says pass HJ Resolution 23, the Liberty Amendment, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States relative to abolishing personal income, estate, and gift taxes and prohibiting the U.S. government from engaging in business in competition with its citizens. And that's, from my brief reading of it, that's the only place it really addresses income taxes or personal income taxes. So my question to you is, are you familiar with their approach, and do you see, as I see, that they're sort of going from the premise of, well, it's legal now, but we'll make it illegal by introducing an amendment? I guess my question is, do you see any conflict there with sort of our thoughts, your thoughts, and now my thoughts on it not being legal right now?
Well, Tommy, that's right up your alley.
Well, you know, you've got what you have here is a different approach to the same problem. And the 16th Amendment was not a, you know, introduced and quote adopted, I'm going to put that in quotes, in order to alter the Constitution, but rather to clarify it. And the Supreme Court has held it made no real significant substantive changes. It merely prohibited the court from considering the source of income in determining whether a tax was direct or indirect. Now, what you're looking at here from what you just described, and I have no personal knowledge of what you just described about this this proposition, would be more, again, of a clarification that rather than saying, okay, it's legal, so we're going to make it illegal, but rather a clarification that we really didn't mean to expand your doggone powers. Now get back in the box. Larry, does that sound about
right? Yeah, it sure does,
right?
But unfortunately, we got a commercial break coming up, Tommy.
Yes, you're right. And, Mitch, that was a great question, and I'm sorry if I didn't have a sufficient answer, but appreciate your holding on for a full hour. Doggone, what a trooper.
Well,
we'll be right
guys.
Back.